Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Myra Lewis gave everyone she met the happy, toothy grin and sparkling eyes. She was just 2 years old and lived in rural Camden, Mississippi, with her two siblings and her mom and dad. Besides her family, Myra's best friend was her black lab named Midnight. She had spent the first 2 years of her life growing up with him, and he in turn adored little Myra as well. Many said that he was definitely her dog. Myra, like all two-year-olds, was a curious child, and she loved to play and be outside. And that's exactly what she was doing on March 1st, 2014. Myra was playing with her sister in the yard that morning like they had done so many times before. Around 10:30 a.m., Myra's mom, Erica, was headed to the grocery store. She told Myra and her sister to go inside, wash their hands, and stay with their dad, who was inside playing video games and keeping an eye on their one-month-old baby. Erica returned home from the store around noon. When she took the groceries inside, she noticed that Myra didn't come running up to her. She asked Gregory where Myra was, and he said he thought she was with her. They realized in that moment that each parent thought the little girl was with the other. Gregory immediately ran out of the house to look for Myra, hopping on his ATV and taking Midnight with him. When the search turned up no Myra, Erica and Gregory called the police to report their daughter missing. Where is Myra Rena Lewis? Hello, and welcome to the Where Are They podcast, and another unsolved missing person case, a missing child's case. Myra's story is pretty well known locally from where she disappeared from, the small town of Camden, Mississippi. The sheriff that has been investigating the case from the beginning states that even though it's been 9 years, he does not consider Myra's case cold, and it is the one case that stays with him and he hopes to solve some point in his tenure. Myra was a beautiful little two-year-old girl in 2014 who seemed to vanish into thin air. But two-year-olds don't vanish into thin air, do they? Not on their own. Even when a two-year-old wanders off or goes missing of their own accord, they are curious toddlers, after all. They are generally found relatively quickly. They can only get so far. Unless an adult is involved. A big thank you to everyone who listens to these stories and shares them. It's crucial that we continue to spread the word and talk about these cases. Missing person cases have been solved decades later, and many times it just takes that one clue or that one person to come forward to find them. If you have any case suggestions for us, please send me a message over on social media. You can find the links in our show notes, or send me an email to canwefindthem@gmail.com. I do prefer to share the lesser known cases, although that does present its own set of challenges. But I do want to get the names and stories of as many missing people out there as I can. Myra's story came recommended to me by a listener, and I hadn't heard of her case before. After I started researching it, I did realize that it is pretty well known locally, at least in the Mississippi area, but not so much outside of that region. I'm curious to know if you had heard of Myra's story and where you are from. Her disappearance is labeled as suspicious by investigators, and it seems to be the kind of case that can be solved by somebody coming forward. After all, a 2-year-old can't go too far on their own. And that area of Mississippi, where she was from, was very thoroughly searched by so many people and agencies. Myra Rena Lewis was born November 30th, 2011, to mom Erica Ledger and dad Gregory Lewis. She had a sister at home already, and a beautiful black lab dog that immediately became attached to Myra. The dog, Midnight, would spend the next years at Myra's side, and they were the best of friends. Erica and Gregory gave birth to another child in early 2014, and Myra became a big sister. Myra's grandmother would describe her as being a very obedient child. She was very caring, and she was super smart, especially for a 2-year-old. She described Myra as having the mind of a 4-year-old. The family of 5 lived in a small rural home in Camden, Mississippi, with Grandma living right next door. It seemed to be the perfect setup. It seemed to be the perfect place to raise children. The disappearance. On Thursday, March 1st, 2014, Myra was outside playing with her sister in the yard, like they did on so many mornings. Around 10:30 a.m., Erica came outside and told the girls that she was going to the store. She asked them to go inside, wash their hands since they had been playing outside, and stay with their father. Their dad, Gregory, was inside with their 1-month-old baby and playing video games at the time. Erica said she saw the girls go inside and then she herself left for the store. When she returned back to the house around noon, she was taking the groceries inside and noticed that Myra didn't come running to her as she had expected. Where was Myra? When she asked Gregory, he said that he thought she had gone to the store with Erica. And Erica said no, she had watched her go inside the home before she left. But Gregory said he hadn't seen her. He didn't see her come inside at all. This meant there was an hour and a half of time where Myra was completely unaccounted for. He immediately ran out of the home in search for his daughter. He first ran next door to Myra's grandmother's house, hoping that maybe she had just wandered over there. She had done that before. But the grandma hadn't seen Myra at all. Gregory then hopped on an ATV, and with Midnight at his side, he started searching for his daughter. After some time of searching and realizing that he couldn't find Myra, they called the local police department to report her missing. The questions remained. Did Myra make it inside the home and then leave again without her father seeing her? Or did Myra not even make it inside and Erica was mistaken? And most importantly, where is Myra now? The search. Local police responded immediately and began searching. And kudos to them for the prompt response, especially since they were already behind since a couple of hours had gone by since Myra was last seen. Police began by searching on foot around the home, and Gregory continued searching with the dog, Midnight, at his side, hoping that Midnight, being pretty much Myra's dog, could sniff her out if maybe she had wandered into the woods or nearby fields. Midnight wasn't a search dog, per se, but I think it's fair to say the dog might have been able to track her down if she was near the home. Eventually, police did bring in special canine search dogs of their own, and the dogs did find Myra's scent in the backyard of the home, but they found nothing further than that. Did that mean that Myra never left the yard, at least not on foot? The area was pretty rural, very rural, actually, and authorities decided to also bring in search helicopters so they could cover a wider area. And as word got out into the community, many, many volunteers got together to help search. It was the biggest effort from an entire community that law enforcement had seen. It seemed everyone was invested in finding little two-year-old Myra. Gregory and Erica believed that she had to have been kidnapped and taken out of the area since there was no sign of Myra. Law enforcement wondered about the possibility of maybe putting out an Amber Alert, and at first it was decided that her case didn't exactly meet the criteria. There was no suspect description to release, no person that she may have been with, and there was no vehicle description. And generally, an Amber Alert needs one or the other to qualify. However, this would be one of those rare times that those guidelines were bypassed and an Amber Alert was issued. And I think this just goes to show the desperation on law enforcement to do everything they could to find this little girl. Authorities also asked the public to call in anything suspicious or anything that might help them. For instance, did they notice anything or anyone unusual in their small town recently? Any suspicious or unfamiliar vehicles? Was anyone they knew acting oddly? And tips did begin to come in, but nothing that was considered credible or in relation to Myra. Midnight, Myra's dog, also was said to have wandered away from the house several times after Myra vanished, until one time the dog didn't come home. Did the dog continue to search for his beloved Myra? A few days after Myra vanished, her mom, Erica, would be arrested. Not because of anything relating to Myra, but on a parole violation charge. The original charge was something along the lines of food stamp fraud, and she would be charged further with three more charges, including felon in possession of a firearm, failure to pay court costs, and failure to pay supervision fees. Up until this arrest, Erica hadn't spoken out to the media, which had a lot of people raising eyebrows and questioning her story. They suspected a crying mother to be begging for help or begging for the return of her little daughter, but they didn't get that. Erica's family fought against the system for arresting Erica during this time. During this time when her two-year-old daughter was missing, and she was still nursing a one-month-old baby at home. But law enforcement said there just is simply not a good time to arrest someone ever, and they had to follow the law. Erica would spend 11 weeks in jail, and no one would hear a peep from her the entire time, while everyone else continued the frantic search for Myra. 10 days after Myra disappeared, authorities finally got a tip that seemed like it might have some merit, but it didn't come from somewhere in Camden, Mississippi, but rather Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee is about 175 miles to the north, a straight shot, actually, from Camden, and this would be a four-hour drive by car. A Memphis, Tennessee motel worker called in a tip that seemed promising, and what really made authorities think this could be legit is that they actually received three different tips involving the same sighting. A young girl matching Myra's description was spotted at the Discovery Inn in South Memphis. The motel worker saw this little girl with an adult male and noted that she called this man Daddy. Two other reports came in, this time from daycare workers next door to the inn. And they called in saying the same thing. This little girl was an identical match to Myra Lewis. By the time authorities got there, however, the girl and this man were gone. The only additional clue they had to go on was that they were in a white car, and no one else was seen with them. It seemed as if it was just the two of them. The motel worker said that the little girl stayed in the room all day, rarely ever leaving, and it's unknown what information they were able to get from this. For instance, did the motel have any registration records? How did they pay for the room? If law enforcement does have that information, they have never shared it publicly. Another interesting fact came in when someone noticed that the flyers being put up around the nearby city of Canton, Mississippi, were being taken down and replaced with different flyers. The old flyers had the number for the tip line very prominently displayed on them. The new flyers had no contact information at all. No one could figure out who was doing this or why, and no one ever came forward to claim responsibility for it. So somebody had made their own flyers and had them printed, or printed them themselves, and took it upon themselves to go around town, remove all of the flyers that the family and volunteers put up, and put up their own flyers. This definitely seemed like an odd thing to happen in the midst of the search for this little girl. Camden, Mississippi. Camden is a small town, population just around 1,700 residents. It's also very rural. Properties are spread out, and there is plenty of vacant land around the town. Much of that land is covered in trees as well, making it an easy spot for a child to possibly disappear in if they did venture off. Mount Pilgrim Road is specifically where Myra Lewis lived with her family. And this road is also exceptionally rural. Many of the houses on that road are spread very far apart from each other. Lots of vacant land on this road. It's easy to see how something could happen and no one would notice, or even how a child could wander off and no one would see. There are also several small ponds and creeks up and down that road, and authorities did indicate that they conducted many water searches of lakes and ponds and found no sign of Myra. The nearest bigger town to Camden is the city of Canton, Mississippi. And Myra's story was quite well known in Canton as well, and the community of Canton continues to really rally behind Myra. Past Canton is the city of Jackson, Mississippi. Jackson is a much larger city and is, in fact, the capital city for the state of Mississippi. Highway 55 connects all of these cities and towns. Highway 55 actually begins in the south, just west of New Orleans, and continues through Jackson, Canton, Camden, and then on to Memphis, Tennessee. The Discovery Inn is located in South Memphis and looks to still be there today. It's a typical older one-story roadside motel with exterior doors. The hotel is U-shaped with all of those doors opening into the middle. You couldn't come and go without exiting into that middle common area, but you can also park your car almost right up to your door. I am curious how the daycare workers next door would have seen this little girl and the man she was with. The inn also sits on a busy 6-lane road, but in 2014, there wasn't a whole lot on that road. Also, looking at the greater landscape area surrounding Camden, where Myra was from, there are plenty of rural and desolate areas. In particular, you aren't too far from Ross Bennett Reservoir and Pearl River Wildlife Area, both located to the south of Camden. To the west, you'll find Panther Swamp and the Delta National Forest, plenty of wide open spaces. Myra's family. Myra's family was very quiet with the media and the public, doing very few interviews. Of course, Erica was locked up for 11 weeks just after Myra disappeared, which, if she had nothing to do with the little girl's disappearance, had to be absolute torture for her. Ultimately, all of those extra charges against Erica would actually be dropped. And when she was released in May of 2014, she finally did an interview. Take a listen to this clip of that interview by WJTV 12 News.
Do you know where Myra is or what happened to her?
No, I don't. If I did, she would be at home with her mom.
Erica Lewis denies any involvement in the disappearance of her 2-year-old daughter, Myra. She tells me the past 2.5 months have been a struggle.
I lost 20 pounds from stress, crying, not eating, not sleeping. because of this.
Lewis says family life has been turned upside down. Since Myra's disappearance March 1st, she's been arrested, her other children put in foster care, and she's reminded every day little Myra is missing.
They just don't understand what I'm going through. I just want my children.
Myra's family pleads for her safe return.
Why speak out now versus before?
Because I was just too emotional and it was just kind of hard to speak.
The focus is our little two-year-old Myra that's missing. And it looks like everybody's gotten completely away from that.
Erica Lewis has a message.
Anybody that's seen anything that day, any unusual car parked on side the road and pull off when you come behind, just bring her home. I just want her home.
Myra's grandmother was a bit active on the social media sites set up for Myra, but neither Erica nor Gregory ever were. And to make matters even more suspicious, while law enforcement continued to treat this case with urgency and search for this little girl, many of whom said they couldn't sleep themselves knowing that she could be out there and be in trouble, the parents were MIA. Not just missing in action, mind you, but they never checked in with law enforcement for any updates on their daughter's case. And when detectives went to update them at their home, they realized they had moved out and abandoned the house and left no forwarding information. Authorities had no idea where Erica and Gregory had gone. While there is no evidence pointing to the couple as being persons of interest, their actions certainly did have people talking. It is important to state, however, there is no evidence that leads authorities to suspect Erica and Gregory. And perhaps this is their way of managing their grief. Everyone does process things differently. It also seems that shortly after Myra's disappearance, the other children in the home were taken and put into foster care. And to this day, Erica and Gregory continue to be pretty quiet on their daughter's disappearance. Meanwhile, locals to the area remember Myra regularly. Everyone there seems to know her name and her smiling face. It's hard to imagine. She was 2 years old when she went missing, and she would be 11 years old now. Local media still reports on her case, generally on the anniversary of her disappearance, every March 1st. And the sheriff who was in charge when she went missing, Sheriff Randy Tucker, is still in charge of the case today. He had this to say recently during an interview with Dark Horse Press. Quote, "She is my case. She is at the top of my list. I have been through hundreds of cases where you see lives destroyed. I've seen an awful lot. And that is the one case that truly haunts my heart. I hope I don't end my career with it unsolved. I'm afraid that I will, but I truly hope that I don't." End quote. To this day, the Amber Alert for Myra Lewis is still active and is Mississippi's longest running active Amber Alert to date. What do you think happened to little Myra? Could she have wandered off? Was she abducted out of her rural yard with no one seeing? Or could a family member have been involved in her disappearance? Myra Lewis was just 2 years old when she vanished and is described as an African-American female, about 27 pounds and 3 feet tall when she was last seen in March of 2001. Of course, she would be 11 years old today, meaning she'd be much bigger and facial features could change greatly. The National Center for Missing Children does have age progression photos released for Myra. On the day she vanished, she was wearing white pants, a turquoise shirt, and pink tennis shoes. The FBI has offered a reward of $20,000 for information leading to finding Myra. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Myra Lewis is asked to call the FBI at 601-948-5000 or the Madison County Sheriff's Department at 601-859-2345. Such a sad, sad case of a young child vanished with very few clues. Let's keep Myra's story out there and share her information. Someone has to know something. I don't believe a 2-year-old can vanish and stay gone for 9 years. Not of their own doing. Please remember to give us a follow on the socials for any case updates and news, and feel free to reach out to me there with any feedback or case suggestions. If you'd like to support our show and our mission, please consider leaving us a 5-star review and joining us over on Patreon, where we share additional missing person stories. We use this as a way to help families of the missing, either through their GoFundMes set up or through missing person charities. And if you happen to know of a charity that you'd like to see us partner with, please send that information over via social media or email as well. Again, all of that information can be found in the show notes. Thank you all so much for listening to Myra's story today. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.